Welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ and I survived the holidays.
And you have a shiny new headset.
Yes, it was absolutely an impulse purchase.
I just like the... When she says impulse, you guys need to understand what she means is she sent me a photo going, purple headset. And then I said, it looks nice. Not sure if it looking nice helps. And then that was at 12:49 my time. Then a few minutes later, she's talking about purple. And then a few hours later, she says she has the headphones.
I regret nothing.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. They looked fine. What were they? I think Steel Series?
Yeah, like Arctis or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah.
And I think
Arctis Nova 3X.
And I think the purple was like exclusive to a store.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
They also had teal, but this matches my
perfectly. I think purple looks better than teal in this case. And then we're not talking about it this week because it's not out until tomorrow, but Digimon the movies 4 through 6 on Blu-ray out tomorrow. So those movies finally will be easily available in English.
Hooray. I shall acquire them at some point.
Yep. And then a bit different since we don't have a new episode to talk about. So first up, the Digimon Beat Break dub. Dev, have you had time to watch any of it yet?
Not yet. I will probably watch it sometime later this week.
Okay, so I watched the first 4 just because I decided not to rush through them. So I guess I'll just go over the cast, and if you have any questions, Dev, you go ahead and ask along with chat. So Zeno Robinson as Tomuro, pretty solid. I still wish he'd have more roles nowadays where he got to stretch a bit more, but nothing specifically wrong. Although watching the episode again does remind me just how many episodes like they don't do anything musical with Tomuro, even though his introduction was walking around with drumsticks.
Yeah.
Risa Mae with Gekkomon, I mostly like. I have two concerns. The first is her voice skews so close to how Gekkomon sounds in the Japanese, it sounds kind of disparate compared to everyone else.
She is so spot on.
That's what I mean, though.
I think it's probably like the closest we've had, like, match between a
it's hard. There's a few
dub and a Japanese voice actor.
There's a few we've had that are close on before, but they weren't necessarily received well. Like Ben Diskin's Agumon, I don't think it was that far off from Chika Sakamoto's. It just doesn't quite fit in English.
Yeah.
Gekkomon here, I can't tell if it's a long-term fit or not, just because it's such a different voice than you would even expect. The only thing I don't like, and I don't know if this is direction or a producer telling her to do this or if she wanted to do this, is she says Tomuro with a bit of Japanese pronunciation flair, but no one else says it that way.
Oh.
So you get her saying, I can't do it, but we're like the T kind of like plosives a bit.
Tomuro.
Yeah, sort of, but like no one else is doing it. But yeah, she's definitely like the center point of the dub, I would say. And for good reason.
Please give her the Gekkomon plushie.
To be fair, we've seen her with it. Then Christina V. Zarena. I don't have a lot to say here because it sounds how you would expect when you hear Christina V. is playing that character. There's nothing wrong. I just don't have much to say.
From the clips I saw, it matches just fine.
No, it does. Then Lily Emile Lammers as Prismon. I like her Pristimon. I don't know how I feel about her Wolvermon. It has
that I have not heard yet.
It has the same issue that Jeff Nimoy's Kabuterimon has. So you have her and Jeff Nimoy, which I know they sound nothing alike, but you'll get my point in a minute. So Tentomon and Pristimon are both their own unique voices.
Yes.
Jeff Nimoy then takes a specific voice as 100% as she can do for Wolvermon. Kind of like a sultry warrior type.
Yeah, I can kind of imagine that.
In my brain, it's what I would imagine she would do for a perfect. So it's sort of like Nimoy, when he goes to perfect level, he kind of has to strain his voice to make it work for Mega Kabuterimon. And then when they got Hercules Kabuterimon, he just completely does a different voice because there's nothing else to do.
Like, he can't go any, like, growlier than that.
Yeah. And they also played, I forgot the character's name, Maki? Yuri?
Yes, Maki.
Yeah. So she's actually Maki also, which nothing, the only, that's kind of what threw me off with Wolvermont is the voices aren't wildly different, or at least the tone of them aren't. So that's good. Okay. Makoto, Brenna Larson is Makoto. I don't know what's going on with her because most of the time she's fine. Other times it sounds like either, I don't know if she's doing it or if they're doing something to her voice where all of a sudden her it gets slightly deeper and it doesn't sound quite right. Like they're trying to twist it more boyish, but it's not always there. So I'm not sure what's going on there because the voice sounds fine most of the time. Then every once in a while, there's an extra bit of timber to it. And it almost sounds like it's being mechanically pulled down.
Yeah, processed or something.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's something she's doing purposely or if they're deciding her voice is going up a bit and they need to pull it back down. But good voice. I'm just a bit confused by that. Courtney Shaw's Trotmon is a very interesting one for a key reason. This is how it sounds to me. It sounds like it purposely is... bland isn't the right word, but vanilla. Because you know how the character's like a spy type?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't leave a... Like when you get Zeno Robinson or Risa May talking, you can hear in your head that actor and you can remember them after the fact. Trotmon, I kind of can't.
Like it's more so like flat or...
No. It's like... You know how sometimes you get those characters in media where they're supposed to be spies and the tone of their voice feels like it doesn't leave, like in your head, you can't quite remember?
Yeah.
It's doing that, and it feels like it's on purpose, which makes it very interesting and strange to me, if that makes sense. It may not.
I'll have to give it a listen on my day off.
Jalen Askins is Kyo. I like Kyo. He's a different take than the Japanese, it's a very soft voice. His is a bit deeper. I think it works pretty well.
Nice. I only caught a little hint of that from the...
in the trailer,
Trailer, yeah.
And then Corey Yee is Murasimon. Murasimon, I have less to say about because it is exactly the dub voice you would expect seeing the character. It's a very interesting one. Like, you look at the character and you go, what type of voice will that be? And it's exactly that voice. And Cougarmon, I want to say, is a bit, not flatter, but a slightly less deep.
Softer, maybe?
Softer may be the right word. But yeah, very good dub. I have some concerns long-term for certain things, but that's also just, first few episodes trying to get used to it while the sub is running at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to double check, I believe, one sec so I can get the correct name. Let's see. I was trying to find the name of who played Asuka. One second.
I don't recall reading.
That wasn't one of the ones in the announcements. That's where the actor popped up. It's scroll down. Chris Hackney,
who
I believe he also said he was the narrator.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he's been in enough stuff where, like, it's like when we do the cast overview, and it's someone who just a ton. He was the Angemon line in 2020.
Oh, okay, that guy.
Yeah, he's done a lot.
Unlike Angemon, he also dies.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, Asuka's kind of dead. He's fine.
He's taking a nap. He'll be fine. So first five episodes are up. The scripting is mostly solid. Every once in a while, they leave in a Japanese word where it doesn't have the same meaning in English, so it feels off for a second or two.
Okay.
Which isn't that uncommon with simul-dub style dubs, where it's just every once in a while there's a bit, a word doesn't flow quite right.
Yeah, I get that.
The one thing that I think they do need to fix, though, is the signs, which they're doing via subtitles, as you'd expect, but they are kind of haphazard about what is signed. It wasn't like at one.
Well, also, isn't Crunchyroll's subs basically gone to absolute fucking trash lately anyway?
To be fair, those are the ones they do. I believe Toei provides their own. And I'm just talking about the signed subs. Like, they're like they sub the end lyrics, but the episode title is not signed. And by and large, the video appeared to be the same as the Japanese video. So it isn't like with Ghost Game where like they swapped out for a more the English version of the logo, which is basically the same for Beat Break, but slightly different. But yeah, very solid dub. I have some concerns, but a lot of that is also based on Japanese version at the same time, days apart. So we also
wonder what the pacing for uploads will be like.
Yeah,
if they'll do like one episode at a time or just like small batches.
It also might help if they would tell us the time, because like, so it was 7-4 subbed episodes. I believe this one went up at 8 or 8:30, but they hadn't said what the time was going to be. So like, if they're gonna do batches, at least tell us when.
Yeah.
Especially
for me, I'm usually stuck working whenever it comes out. So by the time I finally get home, it's usually up.
Then we got clips of Risame as Gekkoman. We got clips of Christina V as Reina. They did little cast introduction tiles for the rest of the cast. Solid cast overall, though, I would say. I have some concerns about certain things being done, but where I'm not 100% sure what is happening, but we will see. I would say my main concern is whatever is being done with Makoto's voices. Larson sounds fine. It sounds like sometimes they're deciding to manipulate her voice, and I'm not sure why.
Might be something that might be solidified by time they come out with like a home video release or whatever. They can just kind of like
clean
up everything beforehand.
It is also possible that there was something with the recording and they were trying to fix it.
Yeah, it's like, let's just get it up now, we'll fix it later.
Yeah. Then we get more production art from episode 12. Really good art this time, actually. Like, these are the type of ones where you could almost imagine them painted and being sold.
Ooh, yeah, it's like the cell frames over at conventions.
We also get line art animation of Arma Lizamon's battle scene from episode 12.
Which was very fucking cool.
Yeah, I love that we're getting those. They showed off the character profile art of the humans from Glowing Dawn. Also, I feel like with episode 12 from last week, we have a new theory as to why they changed the name of the group. I wonder if Golden Dawn is a bit too much of a pin on it, considering that he was gold and he left and wanted nothing to do with them, for him to keep the name.
Yeah. That is very funny.
Yeah, I wonder if that's why they changed it rather than any of the crazier theories, is if it's just, you know, if he's quitting, him keeping the name seems a bit off. Then
it'll be a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Yeah, then the Mad Pulse CDs are out, both the normal and the version with the booklet. That has the opening and a couple other songs from Mad Kid. That is it for the Beat Break dub. We may talk about it more in a week or two once Dev has watched it and I've watched episode 5. Because for all I know, any minor issues I have may be completely gone by episode 5. I just decided I didn't want to rush through it.
Yeah.
And then, so moving on to Liberator. So this one's weird. We start with a visual cameo. It was that way too on the nose for Koshiro?
Hmm?
It feels like the opening visual cameo of Koshiro and Tentomon was a little too on-the-nose design-wise. I can't hear you, Dev.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we get the apocalypse beginning, and they're going to write the world into a new digital world. Everyone's very serious and trying to stop it, and Shoto's... How long has Shoto been sitting there? Like, a month and a half?
Oh, God, like, I was gonna say, like, close to 2 months at this point.
It's been a bit.
He's just there. He's just on vacation.
And even chat saying they thought that was Izzy at the beginning of the chapter. That visual touch was a little too close, honestly. And then, in what has probably been the main positive season 2, a lot of agency for Muchomon, considering he borderline did not exist in season 1, once they introduced Terramon.
Yeah.
Just... Muchomon's had some really solid stuff here. I think Muchomon's had more stuff in season two than Shoto, frankly.
Actually, yes. Yes, he has.
Okay, I'm not
imagining. He's had more agency and more personality, and Shoto's just been just kind of like a sad bitch.
And then the weirdest moment in season two, Shoto and Yuki met in between seasons in the real world and like had a conversation and everything.
And it was never mentioned anywhere before.
I don't mind when they do this sort of characters have spoken and it's not mentioned until relevant. It feels like with them both being the leads, it was relevant. And then Yuki talking about aliens, then she wanted to be a man in black, and she talks about, you know, aliens approving of her good points and bad points would make her feel better. It's weird, because Yuki's a really interesting character. They very rarely deal with her seriously, though, and it's neat that they do it here. I wish they had done it more.
Yeah, it seems like she's more often kind of like a comic relief character than anything.
Which isn't a bad thing, but they also want us to take her very seriously. But they do the thing where she'll be comedic and stupid for an entire web novel chapter, and then the last paragraph is her looking up at the stars and saying something deep, and then they move on from it quickly.
Yeah, it's like, nope, not allowed to be too serious for too long.
Yeah, so basically the high point for this chapter is Muchomon. Just giving Shoto the talk he needs, the honesty he needs. And then at the end, we get a cliffhanger with the end and a cliffhanger of Terramon coming back with a new evolution.
It's like, okay, I really wanted to see what this badass Jogress is going to look like, because I certainly hope it is.
Oh, it didn't even occur to me that it might be a Jogress, to be honest. Because Muchomon was still there, I think.
Yeah, but like the silhouette, it looks like it'll be like...
Oh no!
Some
I thought
giant bird creature.
I thought it was just a new evolution. I only have one issue with that silhouette. I think most people will just go, "Why is the silhouette of Gaelmon?"
I don't know. I kind of thought it looked more like a Valdermon than anything.
Maybe, but I mean, when you think of it being Terramon, it sort of just looks like a stretched out Gaelmon. Considering that's his main, you know, evolution is what I mean. But we will see. And man, it does feel like for half a year we've been in the end. It's time for Liberator to end next chapter.
Oh, they're coming out with a fancy card set themed on it, so...
Yeah. Well, there's something relevant to that we'll get to when we get to the cards. That's actually relevant to it being the end. And then we got some Christmas social art, and we put up a thread where people can post whatever Christmas stuff they want. That is very good art. We have Gekkomon eating chicken.
Oh, that's beautiful.
A lot of people aren't sure why they picked Centaurumon. Do you know why?
Because KFC.
No, it actually appears to be that the pronunciation is very close to how Kentucky is said in Japanese for most of the word.
Oh my god. You're right.
Yeah, that's apparently why they did it.
Kentaru, Kentucky.
Yeah, a lot of people noted that it wasn't the K. It was actually that most of the word skews very similar. That is great art.
God damn it, now I want chicken.
Do you like how Cougarmon's just sleeping? I'm trying to decide, is he dressed up, or have they dressed him up while he's asleep?
They've absolutely dressed him up.
Okay, good. And then...
But like, I wish to be Cougarmon is in a coma.
And then we get Time Stranger DLC previews over, so Bancho Mamemon gets profile art.
That is so badass.
That is good art for Bancho Mamemon. I think my favorite part of it, though, isn't him. It's the right most baseball, where it looks like it's cheering. Bancho Golemon. I think Bancho Golemon has the same issue we've discussed with him before. That is a very complicated design to look at.
He's just very busy.
Especially when you get to the head where he has the eye patch and he has the flaming skull thing. He has a fiery hand. He has an ice hand. His toes are all like floating rocks. He has the floating
rock
guys
like
around
him. Sticking out of his forehead. And
yeah, there's a lot happening here. I don't dislike...
Oh, and also all the kanji on him.
Yeah, I don't dislike Bancho Golemon. It's just a very complicated design. I'm really looking forward to seeing how he looks in the game, though. I feel like if you calm down the art craziness a bit, it will look really good.
Yeah, as a 3D model, it'll probably be more visually translatable.
And then Bancho Lilymon. And it's always funny when we get new art of a character who's been around for a long time, and people are like, I didn't know she has an ahoge. The little hair.
As swoopy. You say that, I did not realize that was there until mentioned.
Yeah, because the art that we generally have of her is often focused on the yo-yo.
Yeah.
And if you check her profile art, she does have the little hair swoopy. It's just blocked by a lot, but you can see it in her profile art.
Yeah, it's like there's other things that you're focusing on in the other artwork.
Yeah. I will say it's much more prominent of a swoop here.
It's pretty much glowing.
Yes. And then we got a preview clip of Zombie Plutomon, which we'll wait to go over story stuff until all the DLC's out. That gives people plenty of time to play through everything. So you can imagine why there would be a Zombie Plutomon and see if you're right in the game. I like the clip, though.
Brains.
Also, we found out who designed him today. Asmaria pointed out that he had actually designed him quite a while ago.
I was going to say, is it fucking Asmaria?
Hey, he doesn't have that much more spikes than normal.
There are still more spikes.
A few. And then we went over how they announced they were doing the All Digimon project and they had a mall collaboration going, and we finally got the details. So it'll be at 10 mall-type plazas from Lalaport, Lazona, Kawasaki, and Mitsui Outlet throughout Japan starting January 14th. They will have a stamp rally to get a sticker with the All Digimon art. There'll be merchandise at some of the malls, and there'll also be standee panels to get photos with.
And here I was hoping you'd be at a couple international malls, too.
I didn't expect... At some point, it feels like yes, but also, like, especially international, a lot of countries' malls have kind of fell by the wayside when they're a bit more shopping center-esque in Japan at the moment.
Yeah.
So the four of the shops will have products. Here they have acrylic stands of the art for each character, can badges.
They really come across like the counters that come with the card game gift boxes.
They do. Some of the art's very familiar.
On
can badges, clear file, flat pouch, and tote bag. I like getting to see the art separate because less bunched up. I do feel like looking at them all, I feel like the high point of best art is probably Agumon, Impmon, or Geckomon.
I really like Geckomon's eyes on this one.
That works really well. I wish, there's nothing wrong with the Lugumon art, minus that it looks like Lugumon art we've seen before, which is what we all said last time.
Yep.
And then card time. So, special parallel card for Agumon, which is a key scene from the game, which not commenting what it is.
It's very cool.
Yes, it is.
Especially the photo showing all of like the texture and the foil. Goddamn.
And then Inori, same as Agumon, key scene in the game. Very nice to see that. I'm very glad they showed the photos of the special cards with the different finishes, because... like, you would look at the art and you go, okay, it's colored a bit flat, it looks neat, but why is it special? It's like, no, it's the way they integrate the art into the finish of the card.
God, the foil is so cool, like especially like the thatching and texturing.
Yeah,
I want to chew on it.
The background texturing on this one looks crazy. Also, am I wrong? Or the way they texture it, does it almost make it... when you look at the art, it's kind of like a fractal design. But if you look at the actual card, does it almost look more like a flower?
I was kind of thinking more like snowflakes, sort of.
I didn't think about that. That you're not wrong. That actually may be closer. Cockatrimon and Delumon. And these are both from Naoki Akimini, who did the Atmon manga and lots of art over the years for Digimon.
I love the Cockatrimon one where he's like fighting Galemon.
I like it. It just feels like with the card stuff, you can't quite tell what's happening.
Cockfight.
Yep. and then the VIP of the standard cards, Muchomon. That is fantastic cartoony art. I love the reflection of Terramon.
Oh, so he looks so happy.
I know, it's so good. Then Card Battle showed off the special parallel art of Jupitermon and Homeros. I love the line art with gold foil version of the other host's computers.
Yes, that is very, very pretty.
there's only one way this gets ruined for me art-wise. You know what it is?
If the bow being really overly metallic?
No. If they don't do the other two in the same fashion.
Okay.
Where you get Yggdrasil with the other two and Kunlun with the other two. It feels like this is one where you need to see the same type of card for all three.
Yes.
Yeah, the actual
finish. Please give us more pretty textured cards.
Yeah, they all look super nice. Then the box toppers for the set, they had previewed six of them earlier. The last six they previewed were five cards in the set, but with open borders, which it's child rookie standard cards from the set. Look at the Muchomon one. We get to see it again.
Yay. I like seeing even more of the artwork.
And also a petrification token card for Medusamon. That is some really good art from Koki, I have to say.
And then, very cool with the stone texture.
Yeah, and then a very cool trailer for the set. They've really been on fire with the trailers for the last few sets, I have to say. Really good. And then, even though it's almost a month early, they put up the full preview wave on the Digimon card websites. So all the playing cards, all the parallel cards, plus recent promo cards, including Evolution Cup Season 4, the Tamer's Evolution Box Rise of Digimon set, January and February regulation battles, and 30th Tamer Battle Pack. We've seen most of these before. All look really good.
So, could do without the sample text, but, you know.
Yeah. Well,
it is what it is. Yeah.
So out of the Booster Set 24 stuff, Dev, which card do you think is the best?
Damn.
Yeah, I'm like looking at them trying to decide too.
I really like the Kazuhamon one with like being like in the snowstorm and everything with like the the sun coming through like up top.
That's a good one. I think I still have to stick with what I said last time, which was the parallel card for the Crossroad Witch. I think that art is just too fucking good.
That one's really badass.
Yeah, I think the art's just so good on that one that like even stuff for characters I like more, this kind of just like breaks through.
There's so much nice art this set, too.
Yeah, like, so it's weird, because the card games had a lot of great art, but, like, every once in a while we get a set where it's just, like, it blows away everything, and this one has had a lot of good art.
Yeah, it's just like, there's nothing bad in this set.
And then, what I said we'd come back to earlier, so promo poster for Booster Set EX-11, which we get anime-ish Shoto, Terramon, and Muchomon. And this is the upcoming Liberator extra booster set you mentioned, Dev. Did you notice what the background is?
Oh, a whole bunch of other cards.
No.
Wait, no.
It's all the covers for the webcomic.
Liberator cover, yeah.
It's all the webcomic. Yeah, so I think this is definitely suggestive of being the end. And we also get new previews of Zafagamon and Close cards. Am I wrong, or did Close get a card or two just a set or two ago?
I feel like she did. Wasn't the one where it has the like the Digimon Evolution line slightly in the background to the right or something like that?
I think that was the parallel card. Someone's saying it's her. She got her emblem, so she was in a recent set. Okay. Then Card Battle did a Christmas-themed episode. I should note that they kept the Christmas borders and everything. But they showed funny pictures of the producer dressed up as Santa, which they removed from the English version.
Aww.
I assume that they were just... I assume what happened was they were swapping Japanese title cards for English ones and didn't realize these were custom ones. Because, like, all the other Christmas decoration stuff is still there. I assume they got the video of the Japanese version of the show and were just swapping out title card stuff. Shame.
Put it back.
Shame. And then... new Beat Breaking Adventure winter theme products, which will be out February 28th. Pre-orders are open now. So I will say, solid outfits. But this is another one where the Digimon could be just like swapped with the Digimon from any other product set.
Yeah, they're just there.
Yes. Which is funny because they go to such effort to give like everyone like character themed outfits.
Just put scarves on the little dudes.
I feel like a scarf would especially work with Gekkomon.
Give him mittens on his little already semi-gloved hands.
Yeah, I was going to say, he kind of looks like he already has gloves.
Give him giant oversized mittens. So it would be beautiful.
So the BeatBake products are acrylic stands, mug, acrylic keychains, can badges, a big ass towel, ballpoint pen with charm, clear file, and die cut stickers.
Yippee.
And then to not be outdone, adventure products with the same theme, more playful, and the Digimon are actually like integrated into doing stuff. Well, yeah. Some of them are. Like Palmon could be from any bit of art.
Let's see. Yeah, she's just, hi, I'm here.
Yeah.
Gomamon is also, hi, I'm here.
So is Tentomon. Agumon.
Gabumon. Gabumon and Tailmon got the message.
Yeah. Tailmon's great. Patamon, at first glance, appears to be generic, but I'd say it's him reacting to Takaru in a way that works.
Like, oh no!
Yeah. So the adventure products are big towel, clear file, die cut stickers, t-shirt, can badges, the pen with charms. What do the charms look like on these? And the charms are kind of shit on these, to be honest. I mean, they're
yeah, just zooming in.
Oh no, they're the same for the Beat Break ones, where it's just the show logo. Like, nah, come on, give us like a SD character head or something. Don't do the show logo as the charm.
Or at least like a snowflake or something.
Do something. So the main promotion for these at the moment is they're doing pre-orders at Animate, and you can get postcards for Beat Break theme.
Hmm.
These are also for pre-order at CD Japan, which makes them a bit easier to pre-order.
So nice, might check that out then.
Yeah, there's some good stuff there. And then we knew this was coming because it was teased in the most recent V-Jump. They announced how to get the lucky bags. They'll be at Annabirth on July 9th, and they'll be at the Toei Online shop the same day.
So, that Agumon poncho just looks so weird.
I need to see, like, the actual thing on someone to judge it.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's not a very art-friendly product. It's sort of like the... So the Agumon Lucky Bag is 15,400 yen for can badge, sticker, big drawstring bag, hooded towel, and stuffed slippers. The Omegamon Lucky Bag is 16,500 for can badge, sticker, tote bag, t-shirt, and paper knife. So, like, the paper knife does not look great here, but we've seen a recent Omegamon paper knife, and it was, like, the coolest fucking thing. So I think it's just the renders of some of these are kind of ratty.
Yeah, because I think we saw, like, a photo of it. It's like, that still looks badass.
Yeah, I want to say it was at Digimon Expo, and I think that one was silver.
Yeah, so it's got to be the same mold.
Yeah, I assume it's the same mold, but it's going to be more bronze-ish. But yeah, I would like to see what this looks like, because if it's a cheaper one, that would suck. I would say none of these are for me, though, honestly.
Nah, I mean, if it was
plus
Gabumon or something like that, it's like, maybe.
Plus, I could only use that shirt once. It'd be like Peter Griffin when he was doing that Hulk joke. Like, I could wear...
Yes, I'm sorry. Japanese sizes run really small.
Yeah, I could wear it once, and then it would explode off me like the Incredible Hulk. But yeah, so if you're in Japan, get to Annabirth on January 9th. And then we have some poll news. So it's, which is your favorite monthly social art in 2025 from Digimon Web? So only the actual month celebration ones count. So let's see.
I shamelessly voted for December with Lopmon. That's a whole ass mood.
Well, there's a few things to point out. The first, so January one's always good. The second one celebrates the failure of a different Toei franchise. The third one, I can understand when sometimes you're just sneezing and just need the tissue.
Look, I just have entire boxes of tissues like everywhere, like next to my bed, next to my desk, in my car. Just sometimes the slime faucet just turns on.
I'm kind of amused by the welcoming Gekkomon one, especially since does Gekkomon look confused that he's there?
Yeah.
Like Shoutmon and Vmon are so happy to welcome, and Gekkomon's just like, I don't know why I'm here. But
what are they giving me? I just want to shove this food into my face.
I feel like the VIP, though, is either your pick of December with Lopmon and the Lazy Terrormon, or the Sistermon ones is pretty good, I think. I think the most boring one is the Grappleomon one, because it's not doing anything. It's just an image of Grappleomon. Like, I get how he fits into the theme for the month, but, yeah.
I mean, even then, it was just kind of, like, pushing it. I remember us making suggestions of, like, a little bits of tweaks that would make it fit a little better, yeah. But he's just generic as this.
Yeah. I don't think you. It's hard to beat the Lopmon, especially just how Terrierbot is drawn so lazily, like where he's just reading.
He's just a beanbag.
Yes, exactly. And they also announced that the result for the Who You Want to See in a Future game will be announced at Digimon Con 2026. See, now this is where people should get slightly excited because maybe they'll go, oh, we're going to do the top five. It'll be free DLC for Time Stranger. Especially since...
That works.
Especially since you have to imagine all of these would be high priority ones that they'd be working on models for future games anyways.
It's like, eh, we'll just slap these one in there.
Yeah. So we will see. And then we get the weekend batch stuff. So first up, reference book for Wankomon Gassamon, which they've been going through the new Pendulum Digimon.
Hopping is so cute.
Yeah, I was going to say, everyone loves Wankomon.
He's such a good boy.
Then a few more photos from Jump Fest the last week. I'm really pleasantly surprised that they didn't just do those character posters as acrylic wall art, and they did actual like life-size things.
Same. I was not expecting like standees. I figured it was just like...
No, this is much
again,
cooler.
Again, just against the wall. Just poster on the wall.
Yeah, this is much cooler. Like, we have to give them credit for that. I think everyone, when they heard it, was like, oh, acrylic character art, or whatever it was they said, were like, oh, okay, posters, yeah. Then we get some photos, which are music adjacent. So first up, we get the Digimon music producer who noted, while he was cleaning up, he found his copy of the memorial book, and it's been about 15 years since that was published. I
remember cutting apart that book.
I always love how they try to fit Takuya and Agnimon into stuff like this. It's always a mask, or a toy, or a balloon. He also took a photo of a Christmas tree making some Santamon comments. And the Wada Koji tribute concert Twitter also posted, you know, a lit-up butterfly and the crowd from a year ago. That is a big-ass crowd. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Then a bit of card photo from Maguro. He posted a photo on Christmas. He noted, still time for Digimon cards on the sacred time. And he said the photos of Chiba, who tried to hide at the lunch boxes at the newest episode recording, were actually from his home. And it was easily found out when Maguro took one mouthful and asked, is this from your home? And you can see Chiba losing his shit at the question.
I wonder if that means his cooking is actually terrible or it's like spiced in a very specific way.
I feel like it's something about the visual. Because, like, you can also see, like, Chivas is laughing his ass off at this.
Yeah.
Then Director Kakuto posted a few things, because he went to the O2 exhibition at Anime Tokyo Station because they asked him to do a talk, which they do there at stuff a lot. And I think he mentioned a few weeks ago that he was putting together one.
Yeah.
So he talked about doing it. He also mentioned that generally when he does these, all he does is talk about Digimon, but the audience asked him to get, like, how did he get into the industry? So he talked about that in the 80s. And funnily enough, so he points out it's on the second floor until February. It's free, so show up. And then he goes, it's not Digimon related, but he found the exhibition in the basement amazing.
Ooh. Does anyone know what that exhibition is?
No, I need to check, but I do know he often does go to anime exhibitions, so if he's saying it's amazing, it actually probably is. But I don't know
what it is.
I
was wondering if it's something else like from a series that he was like adjacent to, or if it was just a really well-put-together exhibition.
No, in chat they're saying it's Digimon Season 2. No, he specifically is talking about something that's not Digimon. That is a place where they have multiple anime exhibitions at the same time. He's saying there's a non-Digimon one in the basement that is completely unrelated to Digimon. That's the other thing. A lot of the exhibitions we see him going to actually have nothing to do with his own work. Like, I remember the one that he took a ton of photos of was the Belladonna of Sadness one, and that movie's from the 60s, before he ever did anything. So yeah, so like you, Dev, I'm very curious to see what that was, if we ever find out. The Toei Museum put up art to celebrate when they announce a new arc. That is some good Tomoro and Gekkoman art.
Yes. I wish I was that good with chalk.
Yeah, that's a lot of skill, frankly. Then we get some art from various Beatbreak staff members. So first up, we get Nightberry showed off art they did to celebrate working on episode 12. They mentioned their first credit in a Japanese anime was Ghost Game, so they're happy to do more on Digimon. Akimini Aki put up a bit of a teaser for episode 13. I'm not sure if this was meant to be a teaser or if they thought episode 13 was airing this week.
I mean, other people apparently thought episode 13 was airing this week.
You saw that tweet I made?
Yeah.
For those who don't know, every week Anime News Network does a what's the best anime that's streamed of the week. And Beatbreak episode 13 was tied for first. Jung Hyung Jung Box showed art they did for episode 3 of Beatbreak, along with a comparison of the finished art that was composite and everything. And then, here's a fun one. Taichi Terahara is visiting New York for the holidays. He's one of the promotional trailer team at Toei. The Beatbreak trailer that Crunchyroll is showing is the normal Beatbreak trailer that we got months ago, just with the English audio swapped in. So he got to see his trailer in Times Square.
Oh, I hope he didn't have to wait around too long.
I hope he didn't. Like we said last time, there could be a wait. But here's the thing. If you worked on it, that kind of makes it worth waiting, don't you think so?
Also, it's fucking cold and windy as shit on the East Coast right now.
Yeah.
Like, get blown away, kind of.
Yeah, I will say, even more so than the clip he took of it playing, the photo he got was perfect. Where him standing in front of the screen and pointing at it, like, that, someone framed that perfectly. That's great.
Glad he got a nice, good snapshot of it.
Then for card art, we get at Altea Claus and Yao the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I like Yao confused why she's the reindeer.
I mean, because she's running everywhere at every possible moment.
And do you like how they added the jingle sound effects?
Yes.
It's good. And then we get some Liberator art. So from Usagi Bochi, scroll down. We get basically pointing out, you know, Shoto's been left behind in the interstice. How the origin of his resolution is showing up. Muchomon, they have to take the fight. And we get a little mention of the Men in Black there. I will say this. Do you love how Muchomon has a tie on?
Oh my god. I didn't even zoom in enough to see that before. I just saw the sunglasses.
I like the tie. Then from Tomo, they mentioned, you know, what Shoto's been thinking and his partners in just Terramon and some fan. This is might be the best Muchomon art we've ever seen.
I really like how his eyes are done. Well, eye.
Yeah, where it's like pencil textured almost.
Yes. Very cool and sketchy.
And then they also did a bonus image, which the text attached to it is Shoto and in boots. That is a terrible fucking pun. But also, I love the art. More so, Shoto looks confused.
And Violet also looks confused. It's like, why am I here?
I like, though, how Muchomon is also there, but we can't tell what Muchomon's thinking outside of probably confused. That's so good. And then from... Scroll up. From Takahiro Kojima, who's the character designer for Beatbreak, he posted a GIF of Kekkoman, and the text label just notes the show's on hiatus as Kekkoman is sleeping with a snot bubble.
I wish that were me.
We all wish that were us.
I just want a nap.
And then we got various Beatbreak holiday art. So first up, the Digimon TV Twitter posted an image of a Beatbreak holiday cake. They said happy holidays. They wanted to share the cake with everyone before a gecko eats it. Slightly after, Megumi Han put up a sketch of Geckomon dressed as Santa with a snowman in response to the cake, noting, "Ke-ke-ke, we all enjoyed it deliciously. Tomorrow's for snowmen, right?" That is a fucking amazing Geckomon art.
Especially because it was done with, like, fucking marker on what looks like a paper bag. That's glorious.
Yeah, I was trying to decide if that was a paper bag or cork. Paper bag makes more sense.
That or, like, the underside of, like a cake box or something like that.
Oh, well, I guess it couldn't be the actual cake box because we can see that's white. Because it's on a cardboard, like, a bottom box.
Oh, yeah, they're usually, like, on a little, rigid platter, but the actual box they come in is usually like more papery and just.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it looks like that exact texture.
I will say the cake looks very nice.
I want to eat the fucking cake.
Why can't we ever get good stuff like this at a collaboration menu? It's always like
bite.
It's always like pasty green drinks or something that they mash a bunch of black sesame in to make it gray for Joe.
I was about to say, or a cursed sesame drink that looks like fucking sandy as hell.
Although, if it helps, there is a strawberry here.
At least it's not floating sadly in a plain white mug.
Yes. And then Hiroki Miyamoto, who's the director of Beat Break, showed off Christmas cakes that the Beat Break staff are having together. Gorgeous cakes. Not Beat Break theme, but very nice.
They want cake.
These look like very expensive Christmas cakes, especially. Now, Dev, without knowing anything about the cakes, there's two types of cakes here. Which would you rather have?
As in, like, the two cakes in the single photo, or
these cakes versus the
Beat Break cake?
No, in the single cake, there's three cakes. Two of them are the same. Look in the back.
Oh, damn, I thought that was...
I want that chocolate-looking cake.
I do not want that chocolate-looking cake. I actually really love, like, strawberry cakes.
Okay, so the front ones are the ones you'd want.
Absolutely.
Okay, so
especially because like strawberries in Japan are just absolute fucking crack.
Okay, so if it's a strawberry cake versus the Beat Break cake, which would you pick?
I'd go with the Beat Break cake because it has like more icing on it, and also it has like blueberries, and it looks like a little bit of like a sugar glaze on top of the fruit.
Yeah, there's a bit of a I will say I'm trying to decide if that glaze is on the picture also. Or if that's or if that's more of like a hard sugar top, so the art sticks better. Because if you look,
look at
the second A on Beat Break. I think that's hardened.
Usually, that's just like a little printed sugar.
No. But I mean, look at the A. You can see a like a bit where it didn't dry cleanly, because you can see a hole.
Okay.
That's why I think
I was looking at the.
I think they
top left corner where the glaze is kind of like
melting into them. Yeah, I think this is a bit of a harder, like, I think it's a bit softer on the fruit and a bit harder on the picture. It's very neat, though. Also, I feel bad for those plushies. Those are going to be very hard to clean.
They're fine.
They'll probably
just lick them off.
Then last night we got Thank You 2025 art from Digimon Web, themed for Time Stranger and Beat Break.
It's very cute.
I will say, this one's slightly more coherent than some of the Thank You art we've got in the past.
I wonder why Jupitermon's so angy.
Because it took 2 months to hit 1 million in sales. When people on Twitter were telling him he had sold 5 million. I will say, I think Jupitermon is a bad look here because... objectively, you can't actually tell if he's angry or super fucking happy. Or if he's asleep, frankly.
I mean, if it were me, I would be asleep.
Because look, you get Geckomon super happy, Pandamon super happy, Jupitermon may not even be there. That may be a statue for all we know.
It's a statue that came with the Ultimate Edition.
Yep. And I like that it's specifically the Pandamon from Beat Break with the Yukata. And then... chat, time for questions. We'll start with the ones that were sent in ahead of time. But first one, since the end of the year, how do you think the year was for Digimon? If you're being as objective and honest as you can on any things you can think of. Overall, it was a good year. Like, it'd be hard.
We have anime, we have game, we have
anime
comics still going.
Anime short at the beginning of the year.
Oops, sorry, cat.
Let's see. Did Digimon comic only end earlier this year? Or was that late last year?
We only got... No, it feels like it was this year.
We also got the comic...
We got, like, the fourth part.
We also got the one-shot in Psycho Jump. It has been a good year.
And also so many collabs and merch and pop-up shops. Yeah.
Not to mention, two Digimon dubs have started to come out.
Dueling dubs.
Let's see. What else? Let's... Movie Set 1 came out at the very end of last year, but Movie Set 2 is coming out tomorrow.
Fuck yeah.
It has been a good year. New Pendulums, we got the Color D3s. Just a lot of fun stuff. It's hard to comment too much, though, because there's been so much.
So much that wants to eat our money.
Yeah. I'd say, I'm trying to think, like, what is the main negative of the good? A bit manipulative with the DLC cost, I would say, for Time Stranger. A lot of people got upset when they realized the anime music didn't come with the Ultimate Edition. But that's about it.
You'd think it would with how fucking expensive that was.
Well, I assume they didn't do that because you'd have to pay the licensing for each copy that's bought. So if you can avoid giving it to people, they have to buy it on their own. You don't have to cover it except with the money you actually make from each sale. Okay, this is serious anti-joke. Someone said, what do you guys think if they did a World Trigger and Digimon crossover? Me and Dev can't really comment because we like know nothing about World Trigger. Like we mentioned,
yeah, as much as we shit on it,
I don't think we actually shit on it. We just laugh that it keeps coming up, and it's not anything either of us are familiar with. Like we keep getting cast members or mentions of World Trigger somehow adjacent, but neither of us know anything about it really.
Maybe my New Year's resolution should be to actually fucking watch it.
We'll see, because remember, it's rebooting soon, so why would you watch it at this point?
I mean, I watched the original Evangelion and then watched the Rebuild movies, so, I mean,
yeah, but that gets complicated on what those actually are, is the problem. then, any New Year's Eve plans or resolutions? Plans? Relax.
I will be at work, and then I will go home and just sit on my ass and disassociate for a while.
Okay. Any resolutions for the new year, Dev?
You know what? Realistically, I never actually make any resolutions.
I don't either. I do have an offhand one for this year. I would like to do better with playing co-op games with people next year.
That would be fun.
Just because it's too easy not to.
I think it's mostly time.
Yeah, that's kind of what happens is it's like, oh, I have an hour or two. That's not really enough to grab someone into a game. I will just sit and do nothing.
Yeah, it's just like, does that other person also have an hour?
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, last night we tried the updated version of that. Dev, do you remember the Steam Remote Play where only one person needs to have it?
Yeah, that actually worked out pretty well with the, what was that one beat-em-up?
Streets of Rage 4. Last night I did the Marvel Cosmic Invasion with Lost, and I think his reaction to the experience was it was basically perfect. It didn't have the issues it did a few years ago. But yeah, that was fun when we did Streets of Rage 4 a few years ago. Yeah, so I would like to play more co-op games. I don't know if I will, but I would like to. What Digimon do you think should get a card in the current card game? Bun.
That doesn't already have one?
Bun.
Yeah.
Like, Bun is
also Neo Saiba.
That'd be a good one. It does feel like at some point we should get a V-Tamer set, don't you think so?
Yes. Give me the fucking V-Tamer Tamer cards.
Yes.
Imagine the glorious fucking parallel arts.
Here's a good one. Do you think Time Stranger might get more DLC after the packs are done? So there's two answers to this. The first is, let's see what happens at Digimon Con. And two, it feels like, especially if they're going to go as minimal for another season, you might as well do another season just to get another $30 out of people. Because here's the thing. Those are minimal. Just find a different villain other than Parallelmon. Just be like, oh, the villain is... Neo from Digimon Next. Who's somehow the villain in all three packs, and each pack does 5 Digimon. Yeah, just do that. It's like, I don't think anyone would complain that much. Especially if you time...
Slap a fucking hexagon on 3 other Digimon and say that, like, oh, these are the illegals.
No, and here's what else you do, Dev. You start the release of it a month after the Switch 2 version comes out. So you really get that right. Then let's see. Someone said... If they did an all-girls Digimon adventure in game or light novel, would we want that with all female evolutions? I think the issue is if they did an all-girls Digimon one, it would probably just be fan service. And I think that defeats the point, the point of wanting it in most cases. It's like when they did Transformers Kiss Player, and it was just very weird, and people don't like talking about it.
Well, you have to, like... limit the fan service. If it's nothing but fan service, it's not special anymore. You just have to torment people with a little bit at a time.
It's like
a garnish, not a meal.
It's like the girls' card sets we've been getting from Premium Bandai. Those have been pretty good. You do something like that. Yeah, because if you do the fan service, then devs just going to buy a Blu-ray and be like, this is good trash that I need.
Absolutely.
And in chat, they're wondering, isn't that what Digimon Alliance is? We don't know yet. I would say no, but we will see. It's definitely what they're teasing for Gacha, but that's pretty standard for Gacha. It can't all be Uma Musume, which is probably what they want it to be.
Yeah, they're never going to beat the horse girls.
Yeah. Then someone said, what is the best stuff from 2025 for you? Food you ate, drinks, movies, games, anything you can think of that was good for the year? Trying to think of any like wild new food that would be good enough that I'd put there. Oh, I did. There's a good ramen place by my house that I tried.
Oh, I thought we were thinking like specifically of like the Digimon promotional stuff.
Oh, do you think that's what they were asking? Because it said food you ate.
Oh, okay.
And we wouldn't touch it. We wouldn't touch any of that shit.
I don't know. If you dared me, I might. I'd probably regret it afterwards.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't be the best stuff from the year.
You know what? Honestly, I haven't actually tried anything new this year that I haven't had in previous years. So.
Okay, so what about movies or games since they asked?
Silksong.
I'm really happy with Wake Up Dead Man. And as for games, I've played a lot of Wow Wow Corona Box, which is a Smash TV-esque shooter that I've been trying to beat on the hardest difficulty possible. And that game just is brutal at times.
Yeah, I just keep seeing clips of you just dying horribly, at the end.
Yeah, because I keep sending you clips of the final boss where it's like, okay, the final boss has 50 weapons, and on this round, my randomized weapon is a hammer. And it's like, all I can do is run away and try to reflect stuff back with the hammer and get nowhere with it. I got really close.
Yeah, and you just fucking die.
I got really close a few days ago, though. It is a brutally hard game. Let's see. Last chance in chat for questions. Someone said, thoughts on Digital World Iliad and Shambhala at the moment? So at the moment, I think there's an issue with both. The first is getting both at the same time after so many years is kind of weird. It feels kind of like speedrunning. And we haven't really seen enough of either, at least for me, to feel like to care. Because, like, Iliad in Time Stranger, if you just said it was another digital world, you didn't name it, it would be whatever. And Shambhala has some interesting background stuff that's been introduced, but we haven't seen enough of it yet.
Yeah, it's like, here's some flavor text for the VPET. We're not showing you anything else yet. So there's not enough there to really judge it by.
Yeah, I don't dislike either, but yeah, I haven't seen any. Let's see, check and chat. Titan Iron Fist goes, the majority of the characters in Alison is female. Yeah, but we haven't seen anything of it yet to, like, know where that's going. Like, we've seen basically a trailer. And they've also shown off, like, updated Zafagamon and Shoto cards and stuff, so we don't really know what that is yet. If that's what it ends up being, neat, but we'll see. Then, what kind of light novel or manga have you guys read that you liked? Let's see, what manga have I read lately? I've been too busy with work to read much in the way of new ones, to be honest. I think I have all the Rascal light novels. The last light novels that I read in detail was I was working on the audio version of the Slayers ones, and also what's it called? Diary of a Bookworm.
Well, I read some of that manga a while back.
Ascendance of a Bookworm. I was working on the audiobook of that for a few volumes, so that was a very nice one.
I need to catch up on my slime light novel. Right now, I'm the anime's on hiatus, and I'm caught up in the manga.
Has the anime on hiatus inspired you to catch up more, or has it provided an excuse to not catch up?
I definitely want to catch up more, but that's just it in general.
Okay.
I kind of bounce back and forth, like, between all three of them. Because initially, I found it via the light novel, because, wow, that's a really weird ass looking title. And then I was reading it while standing in the bookstore and just like, oh, I like this. And okay, then, yeah. Holy shit, it has a manga. And then it's like, holy shit, it has an anime. I like all three of these.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Okay, that is the last little question for 2025. Dev, for the end of the year, what Wikimon arc would like people to read, assuming Wikimon is up right now? I know it was having more and more server issues the last few days.
Fuck it, Millenniumon.
That bitch is 25 years late. Yeah, I can be found with the will as always. We will catch you guys next week / next year. Thank you for joining us. We get a new story arc in Beat Break next week. So we will catch you guys then. And hopefully we have some more dub news by then, because the one issue with having to throw up 5 episodes at once and not saying anything else is where are the other 7?
Yeah, are they doing it one at a time? Or is it going to be batches? We don't know.
Yeah. So we will catch you guys next time. Hope everyone had good holidays. Have good New Year's. Stay safe. We will catch you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.